You have the right to a pain-free back, neck, hips, knees, and feet. Our guest today, Esther Gokley of the EG Wellness Center, is the author of 8 Steps to Pain-Free Back. Gokley will reveal some interesting information of what we can do for ourselves to enjoy healthy, pain-free life. Good morning, Esther, and welcome to the Easy Help You and More Show.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
Oh, the pleasure's ours, Esther. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an acupuncturist and a posture specialist in Palo Alto, California, and I've been working for over 25 years, and it's always been local. I've helped many thousands of people in a wellness center, and since the book 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back came out in April, is the first time I've been able to help people long distance, which is really gratifying.
So you don't actually physically have to meet these people one-on-one. You can help them online somehow?
You know, people are writing me letters from Nevada saying, like, I'll be darned, my neck pain has gone away. I mean, the book is very detailed. It has over 1,100 images, and so it was written to stand alone. It was written to really help people understand the steps that they need to take.
Uh-huh.
To sleep better and sit better and so on.
Well, let's start off with your own personal experience with back pain. How did that come about?
Well, I started off like many people with having several episodes of back spasm, and then I would sleep it out or lie it out, and then it would be fine again. But it came more frequently and became more severe. And then when I was pregnant with my first child in the 9th month, it became quite severe, and I developed sciatic pain traveling down my left leg. And people said, oh, when the baby was born, it'll go away. Well, it didn't go away. It got worse and worse, and it ended up that I was walking around the block every 2 hours to try and get out of spasm. I didn't want to take pain medications because I was nursing my baby, and I suffered enormously. And I ended up with surgery when my child was about a year old. And I was better after that, but 2 years later, I had the same problem all over again. And they wanted to do another surgery. And I'd also already been told not to have any more kids, that I had a fragile back, and mm-hmm. so on. And so it's a pretty bleak outlook when you're in your 20s and you've already had one surgery and you're looking at a second one. And so that's when, you know, I started looking for other solutions. I'd already been looking, but I hadn't found anything. And then around this time is when I found something that actually worked.
Okay, so, but what led you to believe? What put you in that certain lane that posture was a solution?
Well, it's because that's what worked for me. I had already tried all sorts of conventional and alternative approaches, and a lot of things help in the margin, you know. They're a little bit like Band-Aid approaches, but nothing had really gotten to the root of my problem, and posture was it. I was bending poorly and sitting poorly, and I didn't know it. I was, you know, I was following the rules, but unfortunately, our rules these days are not very effective or even correct, and so I suffered. And when I finally discovered that I needed to do posture a completely different way, the way people in village Africa do it, the way people in rural Brazil and village Portugal, and the way our ancestors used posture, and the way little kids use posture, that's when I made a big transformation in my own body and in my life.
Okay, now, does it determine, what if someone is, oh, let's say Bob's age, 59, is it too late?
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Okay, I just want to make
sure. Never, ever too late. No, Bob at 59, I don't let people invoke age as a reason for things to go wrong until they're about 90. When you're 90, you're allowed to invoke age as a reason for something. But until then, I think we're just such well-designed organisms that we're made to last till certainly past 90 in pretty good shape.
Okay.
So when things go wrong, I think it's because we've not been using ourselves very well.
So in your opinion, posture, poor posture, I'll emphasize, that can affect one's health overall.
Absolutely. It's not just your musculoskeletal health, although that's the most obvious link. You know, if you have poor posture, a lot of people can see the connection with back pain and carpal tunnel syndrome and arthritis in the neck and bunions and so on. But it turns out that it also connects very strongly with your organ health. And that makes a lot of sense if you stop to think about it. The organs were made to have a certain shape and a certain orientation, and they're expecting a certain blood supply. And if you... You know, and that architecture that we have came about as a result of 5.5 million years of evolution as upright creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you start improvising and tucking the pelvis and rounding the shoulders and so on, then, you know, the organs can't work very well either. Lungs can't expand normally. The circulation doesn't work well. And each organ suffers. And then there's also a link with psychological health, which is not immediately obvious, but if you reflect on it, if you think about, for example, dogs and how you tell whether they're feeling well, it is by the posture.
Mm-hmm.
The dog has its tail between its legs and its head hung. You know, it's not feeling very well. And it turns out to be true for the human animal, too. So I think posture is just, it's a missing cornerstone of health. And anybody who wants to improve their health, it's like an easy access to better health.
Okay. And that's the whole trick behind it. How common is back pain in the United States?
In the United States, it's shockingly common. We have a 90% incidence of back pain. It means 90% of the population is going to have back pain at some point in their life, serious enough to go see a doctor. And it's now become prevalent even among our youngsters. Even our teenagers have like 30 to 60% incidence of back pain, depending on which studies you read. And so it's just an epidemic. And we spend $100 billion a year on back pain in this country. And there's so much suffering behind that. I know that from my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Such a pity.
Now, you visited many parts of the world in your research. Is back pain as prevalent in other countries as it is compared to the United States?
But that's the good news. There are whole populations that have a really low incidence of back pain. There are countries in Africa where they have a 5% incidence. The highlands of Thailand, 7% incidence. There are other places that have 7, 10, 15% incidences of back pain compared with our 90%. And we make a lot of excuses. You know, we say we're stressed, that's why, or it's because of our sedentary lifestyle, or it's because we're aging, and if you examine those excuses, they don't really hold up. I don't think those are the reasons. I think those factors do contribute, but the real reason is that people in these parts of the world know how to use their bodies, whereas we have forgotten how.
Well, if we may have forgotten, Esther, if we were at some point in time taught properly about posture to begin with.
Well, when I say forgotten, I mean that our ancestors, if you go back about a century, people had really good posture. And also, when we were kids, you know, each of us had really good posture. So it's in our personal past. It's also in our not-so-distant historical past. You know, if you dig out photographs of your great-great-grandparents, if you're so lucky as to have them,
mm-hmm.
you will probably find that they have beautiful posture. So that's why I use the word forgotten. And in my book, the subtitle is Remember When It Didn't Hurt. 8 Steps to Pain-Free Back, Remember When It Didn't Hurt. And I'm trying to remind people that they, when they were children, didn't hurt and had really good posture, and that there's a connection. And that in other cultures, you know, people keep that really good posture into adulthood, and that that's why.
Okay.
They have good health.
Have you ever determined, Esther, a age group when we started to forget about posture?
A lot of it happened around World War I. It is when we sort of redefined ourselves. You know, everything old was reframed as, you know, passé and rigid, and this new kind of flapper era, you know, tucking the pelvis, slumping forward, even the furniture of the time, the Barcelona chair and so on, it was all supposed to be about a new way of being. But, you know, they in that process of wanting to make life more casual, and they lost some really important health foundations. And this whole tucked pelvis that we're still stuck with today, and we even think is a good measure, has caused us a lot of grief.
Now, you've developed the Goclay method to help reduce pain. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the way people begin my method is they start with a course that is 6 sessions long, mm-hmm. and it can be taken in various ways. Some people take it once a week for 6 weeks, and some people fly into town and take it once a day for 6 days, or twice a day for 3 days. And we're soon going to offer a version that's online as well. And so after people... It's a very efficient way to transform the way you do everyday things. It's about learning a way of sitting, a way of bending, a way of walking that is very fresh. It's not the usual sort of sit up straight, chest out, chin up, mm-hmm. Tuck your pelvis approach. It's all based on observations of these people, of these populations where they don't have back pain and other musculoskeletal problems. So it's designed to be very efficient. It has a visual component and a intellectual component and a kinesthetic component. So it makes sense, it looks right, and it feels right. And because of that, people make these changes very fast, and it's very profound.
Now, before we came live on the air, Esther, you had shared a little secret with me regarding some extremely good endorsements by folks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I have been so fortunate in the people who have endorsed my technique. We've had 50 physicians take the course, and, you know, in the community, they're the ones who spread the word most rapidly. But we've also had a lot of celebrities. You know, people like, most recently, Joan Baez has been a very strong supporter of. She took the course with 2 of her buddies, Karen O'Connor, who is a documentary filmmaker for Frontline and flew in from New York City, and Jeannie Murphy, who is one of Joan's colleagues and friends. The 3 of them took it together. And so this happens frequently, that people sort of do a reunion like. Course, you know, they do the course and then they go out. I send them to the Cantor Art Center to go and look at the African sculptures, and they go for a hike. And so they're taking lessons, but then they also do other things that are related. And so these 3 women were just incredibly struck at the simplicity and the effectiveness of the approach. So much so that these are activists, you know. These are not women to sit on knowledge; they pass it on, and so they have been working very actively to get this connected to people who could bring it to a larger number of sufferers, you know, whether it's knee pain or back pain and so on. So it's really gratifying that, you know, people have joined me in trying to spread the word.
Well, congratulations to you from us.
Thank you. That's for sure.
For those just joining us, we're chatting with Esther Goclay about her method of reducing back, neck, hip, knees, and feet pain. Esther, before we talk about your book, I have to admit something. I went over to the website, egwellness.com, and I took the posture IQ test at the site, and I found I learned things I never knew just by taking the test. Now, is it really true that mannequins in Brazil are shaped differently from our mannequins?
Isn't that surprising?
Yes.
You would think mannequins would be the same the world over. But, you know, people make art and mannequins, too, in their own image. You know, sort of they reflect the current status of our posture and body ways. And in Brazil, people, it's one of the populations that still retains a lot of body wisdom. You know, they still have a J-shaped spine rather than an S-shaped spine. And in our culture, our mannequins reflect the average posture that we have, which has a tucked forward pelvis and shoulders that hunch. And, I mean, we've even come to think of this as cool. It's really quite pathological, but unfortunately, you know, it's passing off as cool. But that's something we're planning to change. We don't think it should, we're planning to not have it be cool that, you know, you look like a heroin addict or something. We want people to, the wholesome appearance to be more cool and in fashion. So we're working on that. But, yeah, it is true that mannequins the world over, you know, look very different.
Now, in your opinion, are the United States mannequins the only ones that are different?
No. It's the industrial world in general. So a lot of European countries and in the cities throughout the world, you know, there has this distortion, this sort of it takes about. You know, we spread our culture around the globe, and some of it is wonderful, and some of it is less wonderful, and our posture is the one part of the less wonderful part.
Okay, well, let's talk about the book, 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. What are some of the things our listeners will learn in the book? Describe a couple of the 8 steps that you teach.
So in the first thing that people learn is to elongate their back. So there's a technique called stretch sitting in which people learn to lengthen their backs and then glue their back to the backrest. And you want a piece of the backrest kind of sticking out so you can glue your mid-back to the backrest.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts your back in gentle traction as you sit. So that is, you know, pretty simple measure, and you get 8 hours of mild stretch in your back if you have a sedentary job. So it's very powerful. People are actually stretching instead of just sitting there damaging their back.
Okay.
And then there's stretch lying, and, you know, people dig their elbows into the bed and elongate their backs as they sleep. You know, you just position yourself in this elongated position, and then all night long you're enjoying this nice stretched state in your spine. And should I continue?
Well, I have one question about sitting now. In what position?
Please.
What position should the feet and the hands be? And I'm assuming that someone's at a computer.
Correct. So most of us are at computers these days. And the good, the optimistic message that I have is that that's not necessarily damaging if you sit well. It can actually be something therapeutic for you. So I teach people how to roll their shoulders back so that the arms start further back than usual. And then you come in closer to the keyboard. And in this way, your blood supply to your arms and from your arms is still is intact, and you don't develop tendonitis and carpal tunnel syndrome and those kind of problems. The feet are not, I also describe a natural shape for the feet to be. I call it kidney bean shaped. And that, what that does is it organizes your entire leg to have good architecture. And that has all kinds of implications for how you stand and how you walk. And so there are little things to, like, I'll give you an example of something that's very different about what I teach. It's a technique of bending that I call hip hinging. And it's the way the village Africans bend. You know, they do not just bend with their knees. That's not really practical. And it's also not even desirable. You'll mess up your knees, you know, over a lifetime of doing that. And so what these people in the villages do is they, first of all, they have a really good shape and length in their spines, mm-hmm. and then they hinge at the hips. And in that way, the spine is exactly the same shape as it started out with. And there's no disc getting damaged, and there's no ligaments getting extended, and you get a bit of a workout in the muscles of your back, which is a good thing. You get a hamstring stretch, so you get good things instead of bad things. And that's the general approach. You know, if you walk well, walking is a really good exercise for your mm-hmm. buttock muscles, which should be active, and so on. And bending, too, is just a really good thing for you if you do it well.
Well, part of the problem is that, as far as I know, we've been instructed or educated to, when we're picking something up, to bend at the knees to pick this item up.
It's true. And if you don't know how to hip hinge, that would be a good way to do it. But once you learn how to hip hinge, it's just so much more practical and healthy for you. You get all kinds of benefits, you know, stretching muscles, strengthening muscles, mm-hmm. and you don't do any damage to the knees or the discs. It is a big problem that our instructions are not very sound these days.
Yeah, I understand that. What are some of the easiest and hardest things to learn in your method?
I think the easiest ones are stretch sitting and stretch lying, which I was describing for you, because it just takes 5 minutes to learn how to elongate your back, and then you get 8 hours of benefit out of it. Also, stack sitting is an easy and really important thing to learn, and that's a way of sitting when you don't have a backrest to elongate yourself up against. So that is all about positioning the pelvis in the right way with your, I call it, tail out behind you. So if you imagine you have a tail, you want your tail out behind you. You don't want to be sitting on your tail.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you do that, the rest of your spine has the possibility of being upright and relaxed. It just makes sitting so much easier and more comfortable and healthful. So that's an easy one. I think the hardest thing to learn is glide walking, which is a way of walking that, again, is what the people in the villages and tribal cultures and so on do. And it is using, one of the things that happens is that you use your buttock muscles, your gluteus muscles, really strongly, so that's what's propelling you to go forward. But then there's a whole cascade of events that happens, and it allows you to land really softly so that you're not just jolting every joint in your body with every step you take. You know, some of us think, oh, I have a heavy tread, like that's some God-given characteristic of you, but mm-hmm. you know, it's really a matter of not having learned to use your gluteal muscles appropriately. So that is a bit more complex. I describe it in my book, and people are reporting from all over the country that they are able to do this, and then some of them have been calling me for little tips, or they email me. You know, on the back flap of my book, I have my email address, so mm-hmm. people email me with questions, and it's delightful. I feel so happy that I can help so many people.
Well, this is certainly an interesting concept. Anything that can relieve some unnecessary pain would be a definite plus. How can our listeners purchase the book?
It's available in bookstores everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the big chains like Barnes & Noble and Borders have 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. Amazon has been selling huge numbers. It's also available on my website, which is wellstackedback.com. And independent bookstores everywhere have.
Okay, so it's wellstackedback.com. Is there a link from egwellness.com to that site?
It is the same. It's the same website, so either one will work.
Okay. Now, before we close, you also offer a 6-week class and then an intensive 1-week course. What's that all included?
So people have of 1.5 hours a week, per session, six of those, and they learn stretch sitting and stretch lying in the first lesson, and stack sitting and stretch lying on the side in the second lesson. The third lesson is about standing and how to use the inner core set, which is your ticket to having, being able to be active without getting injured. Very important lesson. And then the fourth lesson, we have some exercises, which are, you know, my approach is very exercise light, but there is room for a few exercises. Mm-hmm. And then we also teach hip hinging. The fifth lesson is about glide walking, and the sixth lesson is a review and additional walking instruction. So that's what the course is about. The book, 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back, is the textbook, is a manual mm-hmm. for the course. And as I said, we are also planning in future to offer the course online. So if people want to find out about that, the best way is to subscribe to the newsletter on the website, on Well Stacked Back. They can also get a free chapter download about the inner core set at the same time, and that gives a flavor of the book, and it also it's a standalone chapter. It's easy to follow.
And when the folks go to egwellness.com, what they're looking for is the Positive Stance newsletter, correct?
Yeah, it's just right on the home page. There's a button to get the free chapter download and the Positive Stance newsletter all at the same time.
This is extremely interesting. Esther, would you like to say hello to anybody on the World Wide Web?
Oh, I'd love to say, give a message to people who have had any kind of suffering in their backs or necks or shoulders or feet, not to despair, not to assume that it's all a part of aging or that they're falling apart. There is hope out there. There are simple things that can do a lot of good for you.
And you don't have to take any medication to be successful.
You don't have to. You know, for an interim period to make yourself more comfortable, you may want to use some medication or so, but you don't want to do that ever. You want to figure out how to get to the root of the problem.
Yeah, you can wean yourself off eventually.
Correct.
Esther, myself and entire staff at the Easy Help You and More show would like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day and joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay, Esther, hold on line 1 second. We'll be right back with more of the show in just a few minutes.